Have you ever noticed that if you go on social media or if you load up before you read a news article on your smartphone or your tablet, they will tell you how long it would take you to read the article. It's a 4-minute read, it's an 8-minute read, it's a 6-minute read, it's a 12-minute read, as if like our attention span is like a goldfish. And then so they try to make sure that the sweet spot right now, that all news media are trying to aim for it, that 5-minute mark. It's sad because it tells us that our attention span had gotten so low that it's getting worse and worse and worse because of TikTok, because of Instagram, because of all these stuff. Our attention span is almost a little bit better than a goldfish right now. That all we can retain in our attention span is for a few seconds. And if we find something that is so long to read, then it no longer captivate our mind. It no longer captivate our attention. We just want to therefore make the news media give us what we want to hear quick and easy. And that's make the news media. What do they do now? All of the titles are all triggered words. So people don't read articles anymore. They only read headlines and titles and make presumption, huh? And so it become clickbait culture, that we only chase after the things that are short attention span, want to captivate, the things that want to be fed instantaneously, immediately, and therefore our life become shorter, our attention become quicker, which make our reaction become more and more dangerous. We become easily frustrated, angry, impatient, and the like, because we no longer have the time to slow things down and to allow God to speak to us. This is very important, my brothers and sisters, and it affects our spiritual life. It affects our faith journey. We come to God like we want to come to Burger King, have it your way. We come to God like we want to come to McDonald's instantaneously. I want my chicken McNugget, and I want it now, even though it's fake meat. You know, we want thing and we want thing now, and we no longer have the patience to come and wait for the Lord because we have become an instant gratification society. We no longer understand what it means to wait and to have patience in waiting. The Good Shepherd had all the patience in the world for us, but we ourselves have to ask ourselves, do we, the sheep, have enough patience to follow the Good Shepherd? Or when we don't get things according to what we want, we immediately leave. When we don't get the 4-minute read or the 4-minute attention span that we have, we seek something else that's better, something else that enticing, something else that appealing, something else that captivate our senses, but it's shallow, it has no substance. What do you want from the Lord? What do you want from the church? This is an honest question. What are you expecting from the church? What are you expecting from the Lord? Things that are appealing, flashy, that captivate, make you and I feel good, or things that are substantial? If you want flashy stuff, you want appealing stuff, you want entertaining stuff, you come to the wrong church. Aubrey and I can't entertain you. Wrong church. I don't have a real smoke machine. All I have is the cheap old smoke machine called incense. And y'all be coughing already when I use incense. You know, we're not here for an entertaining church. We're not here for an appealing church. We're not here for an instantaneous, gratifying, satisfying, affecting experience. We come here for real relationship between the flock, and the shepherd. And I can tell you right now, I struggled for the longest time ever, even as a young priest. After I got ordained, I was so proud of all of the degree that I have attained, working hard for those degrees. And for almost a few years after my ordination, when I configured my signature for my emails and everything like that, I made sure I attained all of the abbreviation that I have in my degree. Make me feel good, you know? But afterward, I say, what the heck can I do with my degree? All of the degrees that I have learned and attained, probably if I'm no longer a priest right now, all I can do with my degrees is to flip a hamburger and probably use those paper to wipe my butt. What can I do with those degrees? Because those degrees mean nothing to the world. And those degrees means nothing in the eyes of God. They were only instrumental in helping me to be formed as a priest, to be a shepherd, after the image of the good shepherd. They allowed me the time to be formed. They allowed me the time to be in the seminary, to be formed and to learn and to take the time to let go of my old self and become an image of Christ, the good shepherd. That's all my degree ever allowed me to do. So too, my brothers and sisters, did you hear what St. John said in the second reading today? What is the greatest name or title that you can ever have right now? To be called children of God. Are you proud to be called children of God? Are you going to be happy to be children of God? Or are you chasing after abbreviation and titles after your name? I know in recent days that I worked toward my transition into the military life. Military is all about rank and all those stuff. They asked me, what rank are you going to be in and what's your title, this and that. I said, I'm a priest. You know, I'm a priest. I will be a chaplain. Whatever rank I hold will not be important. And I remember when I had my interview with Archbishop Timothy Broglio, after I had the interview with him before the Archdiocese of Military Services endorsed me before I can do my application with the Air Force, one priest sat me down and told me something that I still remember today. And he really hurt my chest because he was pushing his finger against my chest. He said, Father, what on your shoulders will be to advocate for the airmen. What you will wear in front of your heart, which is the chaplain cross, will be what guides you. Remember that. The rank are not important. The titles are not important. It's the cross that guides us. So you too, my brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, are you proud to be a Christian? Are you proud to be a disciple of Christ? Are you proud to be children of God? Or are you looking for something more to prove yourself? If you're here to prove yourself, if you're here to attain something that is appealing and enticing, I promise you, you're looking for the wrong place. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus calls you to be. I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel. I'm not going to be like Joel Osteen and tell you, if you believe in him, he will give you all of your heart's aspire. Now call this 1-800 number and give me $500. I'm not going to do that to you. Because Jesus and the gospel is not to be sold. Jesus is not a product to be used. He does not have to prove himself. Jesus is the good shepherd who knows you. who knows me, who hath laid down his life for you and me. He has loved us. We have such a great shepherd who laid down his life for us. What else can we ask for? Who else can we ask for? I don't know about you, there are times in my life I didn't want to follow the good shepherd. There are times in my life the other sheep in the flock have hurt me. But I or you, none of us should allow the other sheep to make us stop following the shepherd. No one had the power to take our hope, our joy, our desire to follow the good shepherd. No sheep should be able to tell you and I, no sheep should be able to replace the good shepherd. They're all sheep. Whoever you idolize in your life, in my life, they're all sheep. There's only one good shepherd, and we can only follow him. My brothers and sisters, today, in a special way, listen to all three readings today. Go home. If you have the missalette, read all three readings today. How beautiful are those readings of the courage and the joy that the saints and the apostles had in professing and preaching the good news. The good news that we have been loved by Christ, who is the good shepherd, laid down his life for us. And I'll end my homily by telling you this. Oftentimes you tell me, Father, you must be close to the Lord. You must hear his voice a lot. Oftentimes I hear his voice or feel his presence, not with a vocal voice that you and I would hear as a normal person. I see his presence in you, in other people, in my life, when I slow down, when I learn to listen, when I learn to seek for him. There are only few times in my own personal life that I heard the Lord. The first time was when he called me to be a priest. The second time, when I had to leave the Redemptorist and begin my formation as a diocesan priest. And the third time was when I was before I got ordained as a priest. And all those three moments were the hardest moments of my life. I went into desolations. Everything I had planned and hoped for did not work. And all I ever heard from Jesus himself, my good shepherd, the one I love, was only this, Joy, I love you. Is that not enough? The good Lord perhaps speak to you differently. He might speak to you in your good times. He never really spoke to me verbally or intimately or personally when things go right. But in the darkest moments of my life, when I was tested and tried, when I thought that I can no longer move forward, when I'm being taken and ripped off of everything that I have known, he simply said, I love you, Koi. Is that not enough? My faith is not perfect, but my faith is in the Good Shepherd who never abandoned me. And I know that God is real, because that I know that in my darkest moments in life, I'm never alone. He had never abandoned me. God is real. And the Good Shepherd is the one whom I love, because he never stopped loving me. So I pray for you too, my brothers and sisters, no matter what your faith journey might lead you. Don't look for the things that are appealing or captivate you for a short moment, but follow after the one who truly loves you, who laid down his life for you, who give you his body and blood at each and every Mass, who have given his everything to you. Follow the Good Shepherd and no one else.